Welcome to Life Church. We are an Acts 2:42 community, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you're ready to hear what God has to say to you today through His Word and by His Spirit.
So, the question for us all to think about this special Sunday is, who is your king? Next month, we are going to be celebrating, witnessing an event that we've never seen before. And it is the coronation of a new king. King Charles is going to officially become king. There will be, I'm told, two processions. One will start at Buckingham Palace, and King Charles and the Queen Consort, they will travel in first-class style. They'll be in a carriage pulled by beautiful horses. They'll go all the way to Westminster Abbey. There'll be people lining the streets, cheering them on. There will be horses groomed, brass buttons polished. Gold and silver will be lining the carriage. Soldiers will be in their best uniform. The streets will be cleaned. The streets will be swept. All because our country wants to tell the world we have a new king. It's an opportunity to celebrate the power and authority of our royal family, of the wealth and prosperity, and not just to the people of this country, but to the nations around the world. Great Britain has a new king, and every news outlet will report it. 2,000 years ago, there was another procession of a king reported. There was great joy, there was great celebration as he rode into the city that day. It was reported by different sources. And yet, the procession of this king looked very, very different. Listen to this. Oh, come on.
As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Jesus had gone into Jerusalem many, many times. This wasn't his first time. But this day, something was different. It says that when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he was accompanied by a procession of people who had followed him. And the words that they were shouting was an Old Testament prophecy. The prophecy was that here was the new King of Israel coming to Jerusalem. And it's interesting to note that Jesus didn't tell them to be quiet. In fact, the Gospel of Luke tells us that when Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day, The religious people in the city of Jerusalem said to Jesus, tell your followers to stop shouting the things they are shouting. Tell them to stop declaring you as king. And we read that Jesus says to them, listen, if they don't shout it out, then the stones along this path that I am traveling on will shout out and declare that I am king. And so Jesus, who for 3 years had wandered around the area, who had been into Jerusalem celebrating the different festivals, this time he allowed them to declare him as king. He allowed this celebration to continue. I mean, imagine with me the scene, you know, the celebration, the cheers, the dancing, the singing that was taking place. We've read that palm branches were cut down. They were moving them around. They were swaying them around. They were hailing in this king that was coming in to rescue them. They were celebrating because the Messiah, their Savior, had finally arrived. And the crowd following Jesus into Jerusalem that day brought all the uproar and the excitement with them. You see, previous to that, they'd seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. And so this had to be the promised Messiah that was coming to them. Except, Jesus wasn't that kind of king. The people were expecting a political leader. The people were expecting an earthly king. They were expecting a king who would save them from the oppressions of the Romans. And they wanted Jesus to be their answer to an immediate problem. And so they shouted, Hosanna, son of David, save us now. Imagine the Romans, the occupiers of that nation at the time. They're watching all this take place. They're hearing a king's coming, a new king is coming, a conquering king is coming to save us. And imagine what must have gone through their minds. Like, who is this king? Who is this king coming to come against us? How dare he? And then imagine what they must have thought when they saw Jesus ride in. You see, in the armies, they'd be coming in on horse. The captain of the army would have a slightly bigger horse just to show his power and authority. So the king, the emperor, Caesar at that time, his horse was huge, all right? The bigger the horse, the more power and the more authority you had. So the Romans were expecting this conquering king, this general of an army, this man with great power and authority to come riding in on probably the biggest horse they'd ever seen. Except Jesus didn't come in on a donkey. Sorry, on a horse. I've just ruined the punchline, haven't I? He came in on, you tell me, what's he come in on?
A donkey.
A donkey. Actually, it wasn't just a donkey. Look at this passage here. Matthew says, say to daughter Zion, that's another word for Jerusalem, see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This great king that everyone was shouting about was sitting, now picture this, on a baby donkey. The king of an army would be on the biggest horse ever so that he could be head and shoulders to show his power and authority. And yet Jesus couldn't get any lower. He's sitting on the foal of a donkey. In fact, we read that his saddle, it was someone's coat. It was a borrowed coat. There were no shiny buttons. There were no trumpeters announcing his arrival. And this probably wasn't the king that people were expecting. And yet Jesus planned it all. He knew exactly how he wanted to arrive. Remember, he'd asked the disciples to go and get the colt and the donkey. He knew exactly what kind of king he was coming as into Jerusalem. The crowds wanted immediate peace, but Jesus was coming to bring them peace with God. They wanted salvation from their immediate oppression, but Jesus was coming to bring them salvation once and for all from their sin. And so many times you and I can fall into the same thinking as the crowds that day. We say yes to Jesus. We celebrate that we're saved by him. We're excited. There's this new kind of found faith and fervor that develops in our lives. And we expect immediately everything to change. We expect Jesus to come and solve those immediate problems we're facing, to save us from the things that we're going through now. That's the King that we expect. We want Jesus to be like a consultant to us, to give us immediate help when we call out. And we can treat praying like some magical power. And when Jesus doesn't work the way we expect him to, we remove the crown that we place on his head. And that's just what the crowd did that day. They shouted out, "Hosanna to the King." They shouted, "Save us, Jesus." But in the space of a week, their cries of praise changed. One moment they were crowning him as their king, expecting him to lead a fight, to lead a revolt, to bring immediate salvation to them. And when he didn't do the things the way that they wanted it to happen, within days they were shouting, "Crucify him." Why did Jesus ride in on a donkey? Simply to let the people know, your king is coming to you, but not how you're expecting. Secondly, Jesus the King doesn't come by force. I was brought up with one of these rules, and it was this: turn the other cheek. Now, for many people, that can seem really weak. That's a weak way to live. It can come across that you never stand up for yourself, that you let others walk all over you, that you never finish an argument, that you allow people to shout over you. And sometimes, while that can be true, the other side, the flip side of the coin is this, is that actually you're in full control. You choose to not live your life in a constant battle and struggle with others. And Jesus, when he arrived humbly on a donkey that day, he confronted every preconceived idea of what a conquering king looks like. What kind of a conquering king comes in humbly and gently? What kind of a king chooses to make himself so vulnerable and lay his life down for his people? There's a passage in the Bible that tells us a lot about who this king is. I think it's here. "Come to me," these are the words of Jesus, "all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And when the Bible talks about our heart, it is referring to our very core, that thing that defines you and me. That's why in the book of Proverbs it says, "Above all else, Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The heart is who we are. And in this passage, Jesus, he's not talking about an emotional life. He's revealing to us the innermost part of his being. I am gentle and lowly. Jesus, the conquering king, he's not harsh. He's not reactionary. He doesn't come to us with a pointed finger. Jesus comes with open arms. Jesus didn't arrive that day in Jerusalem to conquer by force. There was no great show of strength and power. Jesus came to conquer in a different way, through love, grace, mercy, and sacrifice. He came to let us know that your king is coming to you, not in strength, but in weakness. Thirdly, Jesus the King has come to be the center. Jesus will always respond to those who call out to him. Right before Jesus rode into Jerusalem, we read that he was met by two blind men shouting, "Lord, Son of David." They began to shout and call him by his proper title. And I'll just read this bit to you. It says in Matthew chapter 21, as they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. So he's on his way to Jerusalem. And two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd sternly told them to be quiet. But they cried out all the more, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus stopped. And he called to them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Lord, we want our eyes to be opened." And moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. And the Gospel of Matthew, one of those news outlets that reported the procession of the king arriving that day, says that by the time Jesus reached Jerusalem, the city was already in an uproar. News had gone fast. And Jesus, that day, in a city that was coming to celebrate the Passover, celebrate that they'd been freed from the Egyptians thousands of years earlier, suddenly Jesus the King was the center of it all. You know, if you and I had been there that day, we wouldn't have been able to get anywhere near that temple. The temple was made up of lots of areas and different courtyards. And you and I, we would have been called Gentiles. That means non-Jews. And we would have had to have stayed right in the outside part. We would not have been allowed anywhere near it. Jewish women would have been able to go one step further. Jewish men, another courtyard in. But only the priests were allowed to go into the center of the temple. You know, religion is really good at keeping people away from the center. It's really good at putting up barriers. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he was not on a high horse. He was not surrounded by guards. But Jesus came to pull down the barriers. Jesus came so that he was accessible to everyone. And Jesus came as king. And to make Jesus the center of our lives is to make him king of our life. But we have to come to him in our weakness, not in our own strength. We have to surrender our whole lives to him, every single part. See, religion says you have to be good enough to get to God. But Jesus says, "I am the way." Religion says this is what you must do to get to God. But Jesus says, "It's what I've done for you." Religion is about what you can't do. But Jesus is about what he can do through you. And the whole point of the gospel is that we're saved through weakness, not by our strength, not by our good deeds. To place Jesus in the center of our lives is to crown him king. The kingdom of God is not made with human hands. Crowds that day, that Palm Sunday as we remember it now, they worshipped a man-made idea of a king. And even those who saw everything he did, all his miracles, and heard all the words that he said, eventually drifted away when Jesus didn't meet their man-made ideas of a king. And in the same way Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day, Jesus rides to each of us. He doesn't want us just to like him. He wants to be king of our lives. He won't force his kingship on us, but he wants us to respond and make him king of our lives. Jesus hasn't come to wage war with the world. He's come to bring peace and reconciliation to God. Jesus comes as king to us. He comes to rule and reign in our hearts. He comes to be the very center of your life and my life. Take a listen to this.
The next day, the great crowd that had gathered heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." This crowd praised him. They celebrated his miracles and with great expectation told everyone about him. But they did not know him. They were waiting for someone who would rule with strength and might, but he came as a humble servant. They wanted him to finally bring their people glory, but he wanted to change them so their lives would bring God glory. They were expecting a general who would crush their enemies, but he came saying, "Love your enemies." They thought he could offer them deliverance from their oppressors, but he came offering deliverance from sin. This crowd would soon realize that Jesus wasn't gonna be what they wanted, and they turned on him before they ever realized he was what they needed. So as they yelled, "Crucify!" Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you a king?" Jesus answered, "I am not that kind of king. His kingdom isn't what you see here. It won't be established by chaos and war. His kingdom is in our hearts. His kingdom is truth. His kingdom is goodness. His kingdom is righteousness. He is the humble king, the king of healing, the king of forgiveness, the king of love. Today, we lift our voices. We cry, Hosanna, save us. Save us from our sin. Come dwell in our hearts. Hosanna, we worship you. Jesus Christ, our King."
We have a choice. We can follow Jesus just like the people in the crowds. We can say and we can shout the right things and not crown Jesus as king. To crown Jesus as king of our lives is to say, "Lord, not your will, but mine." To crown Jesus as king of our lives is to say, "I'm going to live my life by your standards, not my standards." And so my question to you all today is, will you make Jesus the king of your life? Will you say yes to his kingship? Will you say yes to following him? Will you say yes to making Jesus the King, the center of your life? We're going to pray. And I'm going to give us an opportunity just to respond this morning. For some of us, we may have followed Jesus for a long time, but we've held on to a part. We've not made him fully king of our lives. And give us an opportunity to let go and say, Jesus, be the center of my life. Be the very core of who I am. For some of us, we've maybe never even said yes to following Jesus. And I'm going to ask you and invite you this morning to say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to follow you with my life, but not just that. I want to make you king of my life. Jesus, be at the very core of me. So, Lord, I just spend these next couple of moments. Lord, we spend them in your presence. Jesus, you came very different from what other kings, how they would travel. And Lord Jesus, we've read this morning that you came gently and you came lowly. You came not by force, but you came to surrender your life on a cross so that we may be forgiven. Lord, you came to bring peace in our hearts. You came to bring reconciliation with God. Lord, your kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. Lord, it is a kingdom where you rule in the very center of us. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray today, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would come, Lord, that you would ride into our hearts, that you would come, bring your peace this morning. Lord, I pray for those in this room who want to begin to follow you, who want to say yes. Holy Spirit, seal your word in their lives today. Lord, I pray in those of us who followed you for a while, Lord, I pray that we will continue to put that king, that crown upon you. Lord, that we would not keep the crown back for ourselves. Lord, we don't want to be king of our lives. Lord, we want you to be king. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray, come have your way in our hearts today. Come ride in. We surrender to you, Jesus. Be magnified and glorified, King of kings and Lord of lords. Thank you for the peace that you bring us. Amen. Amen. If this morning you've, in your heart, you've said, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. Jesus, I want you to be king of my life. Then at the end of this service, will you come and tell me, come and speak with me and just say, Sarah, I want you to know I've made Jesus the king of my life this morning. And I'll pray with you. And it's a great thing to follow Jesus. I followed him for many years, and there's never been a day of regret. He's changed me. He's transformed me. He's saved me. God can do wondrous things through your life when you follow him. Amen. Amen.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Keep up to date with everything that's happening by visiting our website at www.lifechurchwarrington.com.